Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
I'ma take it to trial. Pray the Lord, I beat the case. That man be calling.
It is Wednesday, December 29th. 2 days left of 2021, and sayonara, motherfucker. We are ready for 2022. 2021 was supposed to be what 2022 will be. And that is, I think we're through the severe portion of the pandemic. I think the pandemic is over. Honestly, I think it's been over for a long time. Now we're just signaling our virtue by masking up and doing all this bullshit that not only does it not work, we're protecting against a virus that is no longer severe, partly because of this vaccination, right? That all these people have taken all these shots, booster shots, fucking, you know, ass shots, shoulder shots, you name it. People have taken it all. And now it's not that severe. And if you're protected with this super vaccine that is just the most amazing medical marvel ever, then you have no worries. So I think we're through it. We're over it. And people see that this is nonsense. And this is just hindering our way of life. Sports is getting fucking destroyed right now, and it's time to move forward. We have a new flu, and it's not going away, and we're protected against it. We'll have this vaccine forever, and I'm ready for 2022 because it's going to be an awesome year. I'm excited for it. So 2 days till New Year's Eve. Hope everybody has a safe and enjoyable New Year's Eve. We will have a show New Year's Eve morning, so we'll have plenty of time to wish you well wishes. But real quick before we get started, first things first, our Squares for Charity. We obviously have two games this Friday and one this Saturday, and then the national championship game. So your square plays in four games. We have, I think, four squares left. $100. You can win anywhere up $300 for a final score. And then by the end of this week, we will be launching our big board, our big money board. It's $100 a square. If you hit the final score of the national championship game on that board, you win $3,000. I said $3,000. So it's a lot like playing the lottery. And the good news is if you don't hit $3,000 for the final score, $1,000 for the halftime score, I can't remember exactly what, $500 first quarter, $500 third quarter. So if you don't hit any of those four, the only good news is you're donating to charity. So I guess you can feel better about $100 donation. So stay tuned for that. If you're interested, email me Zach@Menace2Sports, the number two. And then I check. Make sure you hang out with us on Friday. Spaces 3:00. That'll be probably what time are those games on Friday? That'll be right. That would almost be like a pregame show.
Well, right? Little Menace pregame action.
And so we will be out there on Twitter. Make sure you follow @Menace2Sports and click the bell for alerts. I got a parlay for you, Chris. It's from the main show yesterday. If you didn't listen to that yet. We'll get to it in a minute, but Mississippi State killed one of our handicapping parlays, but our parlay today is going to be Oklahoma money line. They open up at -3.5. They're all the way up to -7. Last I looked, and Clemson money line. I think they overcome the chaos and play their best game and get a dub in the bowl game. So that's our two team parlay. We're rocking with it. And Chris, I don't know if you saw it, but boy, is Dave Portnoy a bad athlete. Oh my God. Now his response, if you haven't seen the video, I tweeted it out. Dave Portnoy got two half court shots, and not only did they fall 10 feet short, but it just looked disgusting. Mm-hmm. I mean, apparently the guy said he was a pro baseball prospect till he tore his shoulders up, but never mind shoulder strength or anything. The shot form was atrocious. I just wondered if the guy ever played like street basketball, or did he ever go out to a court like and play pickup or anything?
He looks like he's never played any sports. Like, I've been around plenty of baseball players. They can all get the ball at least there. I mean, he threw the ball. It didn't make it there. It was wide right. And, I don't know.
I've seen people shoot a basketball that are horrible basketball players, but their shot at least looks somewhat athletic, right? Or their movements. I mean, if he was like wasted, wasted drunk, people have better shots than that. I don't even know what to say about it. I mean, it was embarrassing. I thought his team's response, the letter they put out, was really funny. I thought it was a good way to try to spin it, but it doesn't change how disgusting that was. So just I guess food for thought. The cult leader you are following, El Presidente, is a fucking horrendous athlete.
Yeah, I will never let anybody like that tell me about any kind of sport ever.
No, period. Never. So he's a non-athlete. He can't fuck. He's weird. He like spits in girls' mouths. Like, just like, dude is coming off more and more like a douchebag. The more you kind of pay attention to what's going on around him.
He shoots a basketball like he lets girls spit in his mouth.
Right. Yeah, he probably does. He probably gets pegged. Oh, so the Barstool is having a rough go at it, right? First, their bowl game gets canceled, and Portnoy has that video come out making him look like an absolute clown.
Like, you know, he practiced. You know, this wasn't a surprise, Zach. Like, that boy practiced and went out there, and still that was the abomination he chose to put up.
And the only organization that is faring worse right now than Barstool is the Southeastern Conference. Wow. Mississippi State falls to Texas Tech. Mike Leach loses to his former team, and the SEC falls to 0-5. Meanwhile, the Big Ten bowl season kicked off, and Minnesota is now 1-0. Embarrassing what's going on right now. I mean, the Mountain West is 5-1. The Conference USA is 3-5. They're doing better than the SEC. Sun Belt's 3-1. The Pac-12 is 0-1. The Big Ten's obviously 1-0. Big 12's 1-1. ACC 0-1. And the American Conference is 3-0. They're setting the pace, them and the Big Ten. So just unbelievable that the SEC is faring this terribly.
The SEC is the powerhouse conference right now, is feeling like a prop up. Sure, they're very top heavy, like the rest of college football, and they may have, you know, some of the best teams at the top. But other than those teams at the top, they're pretty mediocre. At least is what it feels like right now. And it's so interesting because every year that the SEC has the best record in bowl games, everyone comes out and says, this is why the SEC is the best. You know, every ESPN, it's like they get an email blast out like, hey, go tweet this, go message about this because the SEC has the best record in the bowl games. And then on years when they don't, it's there's no mention of who, you know, had the best bowl record. So it's interesting. They look bad, but, you know, it's the big bad SEC. I still think they probably are the best conference, but I think the gap is not as big as, you know, ESPN would like you to believe.
Well, we're going
to
find out, right? We're going to find out. There's four SEC Big Ten matchups, Tennessee-Purdue on Thursday in the Music City Bowl. I think that's a wash. I really like Tennessee and how they're playing, so I think that they could definitely win that game. But it'll be interesting to see what Purdue does. I haven't really looked, but if David Bell is playing or not, I can't imagine he would be playing. I mean, that's what they're going to point to, COVID and opt-outs and all this other stuff. So Tennessee-Purdue in the Music City Bowl, Georgia-Michigan, obviously in the playoff on Friday, Arkansas-Penn State on January 1. That's going to be a matchup I'm excited to see because I think they're very similar teams. And you just look at some of these things, like Arkansas is ranked number 21, Penn State unranked. That's just ridiculous. They're similar teams, similar resumes. So that's the third game. And then what's the other one? Kentucky-Iowa on January 1st, also in the Citrus Bowl. So the Outback Bowl and Citrus Bowl round out the Big Ten SEC matchup. Four games to decide who the best conference is. I mean, honestly, you're talking top tier, Georgia, Michigan, right? All the way down to Tennessee, Purdue, who are, you know, middle of the pack at least, or at best. So pretty even matchups, and we're going to find out how good is the Big Ten, how good is the SEC, and then they round out. South Carolina's got a tough one against North Carolina in the Mayo Bowl, and I don't know if you saw, Chris, but they had to sign a thing where the winning coach is going to sit on a throne and get just doused in mayonnaise if you win. I don't know who just signed up for
instead
that.
Instead of a Gatorade bath, a mayonnaise bath. Hell,
my
no.
Man Mac better not. I could, if you know what, if Shane Beamer wins, I could see his young cheesy ass doing it. But if Mac wins that game and he takes the mayonnaise shower, I will lose all respect for that man. All respect for him. And then obviously the SEC rounds it out. Alabama playing Cincinnati in the semis. Ole Miss has got a tough one against Baylor. I really like Dave Aranda and what his defense does. And then the game that no one gives a shit about, shouldn't even count, LSU Kansas State. So they might get a win there. I honestly think that at best they're going to split the Big Ten SEC matchups. I think I have not done, I get not handicap analyzing the game. I'm not done analyzing the game, but I like Michigan to beat Georgia. I really do. I think Tennessee beats Purdue. I think Penn State beats Arkansas, and then Kentucky, Iowa is a toss up. Iowa is just so bad on offense, but their defense is so good. I could see that going either way.
I'm going to be watching that Arkansas-Penn State game pretty closely. I think Treylon Burks, I think he's playing. I'm about to double check, but that's one of those receivers that is kind of floating around wide receiver floor in the NFL draft, which we'll dig into, and kind of write him and Chris Olave are pretty comparable. But I'm genuinely curious. I am curious. Michigan, Georgia should be interesting. Sometimes, like more recently, I felt like this year at least that you know, down the stretch they're built super similarly, and it's a good matchup because neither team has a really explosive quarterback. So there's not going to be a situation where like one team needs to score a lot of points to win. It's going to be a real kind of defensive driven game, and I'm excited to see that. But you know, it's bowl season, and we'll see. I have to go through and finish looking at who's opted out and who hasn't, kind of as we kind of
it's so tough. Like, you even look at Ohio State, it's like what people are opting out. Like, they announced some people opting out, but Chris Olave's practicing, and then they didn't announce four kids that just aren't on the trip. They didn't say much about them other than I think Cody Simon, you had mentioned before the show, he after the Michigan game had a sling he was in a sling, and he needed shoulder surgery, that's why he's out. But it's weird. I mean, you look at the Mississippi State game. We got destroyed in Mississippi State because we handicapped and picked them to win. They obviously got destroyed. And then right after kickoff, the announcers are talking about, oh, yeah, Mississippi State just gave us a list of 10 players that are on the COVID list and not playing after kickoff. Like, it honestly should be criminal. Like, no, people bet Vegas, a lot of money on these games. They need to have a rule in place for sports gambling purposes.
That's why the NFL, it's required.
The NFL has to. They have to disclose who's not going to play before the game. And it's not, you know, it could be a game time decision, but an hour before the game, they have to tell you, like, right, Tom Brady is out. Like, they can't just after kick be like, oh, by the way, Tom Brady's not going to play. You're like, wait, what? Like, I mean, Mississippi State was without, they were without four defensive ends. They didn't have a tackle playing in the game. I mean, it was just like, wait a minute, this is bullshit. Like, if you pick Mississippi State because every handicapping analytic, anything in the world tells you Mississippi State's going to win, and then they don't have a defensive end or tackle on the team, like, what the fuck? That changes things quite a lot.
Yeah, that's like a potentially 2-point swing both ways. Like those are two very critical positions, obviously. But like Chris Olave, I haven't seen anything like this since the opt out days kind of started. I have not seen a player go through a full week of bowl prep practice, be seen, you know, catching punts, running routes, doing, you know, all the drills, but even though they've opted out, like, I haven't seen it, Zach. How weird is that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it just depends on what all he's doing. Like, you look at when Bradley Roby, quote unquote, opted out of the Orange Bowl against Clemson, he was there, he was at practice. He didn't do much, but he hung out mainly because they were masking it as an injury, and not just his decision to opt out. But you look at it, Chris Olave is a captain. I know Haskell Garrett is too, but he's a captain. He's in Southern California where his family's from. He's probably just hanging out, having a good time, enjoying the bowl game, and just, you know, maybe getting a little bit of work, routes on air, catching punts. Like, just, he's not in a hurry to go to some training facility. He wants to be around his guys and enjoy the bowl game. He's just not going to risk injury. I don't see a problem with it. And I know people are kind of like, oh, maybe he's really going to play. It's like, no. He is just kind of enjoying, because this is fruits of his labor too, right? Mm-hmm. He was a dominant player for Ohio State and helped them get to a Rose Bowl, right? Not that that's some prize now in the public eye or even in their eye, but I mean, it makes sense to me. I mean, he's home. If they were in the, you know, the Sugar Bowl in Louisiana, I doubt he'd be there, right? But he's in Southern California. His whole family's there. Friends get to come to practice. He gets to hang out with his guys, help motivate those young guys, coach them. I mean, that kid's such a good kid and such a smart player. He's out there helping Brian Hartline coach up the young guys that are going to have to play. I love it. I think it's great for camaraderie. I think it's great for the culture of the team. It's great for the perception that this kid did not just say, I'm out, Ohio State, and went to like Exos in South Florida and started getting massages. No, this kid's out with his team, his coaches. Like, he enjoys being a part of Ohio State and doesn't want it to be over until it's over. He just doesn't want to get injured.
Yeah. I mean, that's a kid that loves Buckeye. That's a kid that's Buckeye through and through. I love Chris Olave. I love it for him. Obviously, one of the greatest receivers ever, in my opinion, at Ohio State. But, you know, we don't have to go back down that road. What do you make of Seven Banks and a couple other guys not being there, and no announcement, no word, no nothing on them? I mean, I saw Seven Banks posted from a wing place in Florida yesterday while the gang was at bowl practice.
Yes, it's weird that it just wouldn't be mentioned. And it kind of goes back to what we talked about with the gambling stuff. Like, I guess it's no one's business if they're there right now. At some point before the game, I do believe there should be a deadline where you have to announce, like, here's the players that are out before kickoff. I mean, it can't just be at kickoff. Right. I mean, it's not fair to a multi-billion dollar industry in sports gambling. That is huge. So I don't know what to make of it. I mean, Antoine Jackson, not a huge loss, but with Haskell not playing, you'd like to have another interior D lineman. Marcus Williamson has played a lot in the slot, but he's been really average at best. And so not sure why he's not playing, but I would imagine no one's really that upset about it. It's just a chance to get some young guys in, you know, some of those other slot corners that have played all year. And then Cody Simon, it must be a shoulder injury. I'm surprised he's not on the trip, though, and he might be. All I heard was that he wasn't at practice, and sometimes those kids are doing rehab or whatever, or he might be, you know, under the knife and flying out later. Here's the other thing that happens at bowl games. Sometimes those injured guys and, you know, maybe guys that don't play at all or whatever, they won't fly out with the team immediately. They'll fly out a couple days before the game, and kind of a second wave of players will show up to experience the end of the bowl trip. And it's kind of just to keep distractions away. A guy that had surgery, that's not practicing, not playing, not invested in the game at all, might fuck around and go out late every night, and you don't want your team going out with them. Mm-hmm. So you kind of hold them back and bring them in 2 days before the game when no one can leave. There's curfews and, you know, you can't go out. So I'd imagine that might be what it is. I'm not sure if Seven Banks fits that category or if he basically said, deuces, I'm out of here. I mean, he became the third corner, a kid that was projected to be, you know, cornerback one going into the year. Him and Cameron Brown were supposed to be the two studs. And then there was a lot of drama with Seven this year. I mean, there's games where he didn't play and he wasn't injured.
No explanation.
And so there's a lot of stuff going on there. And mainly he got beat out, right? Cameron Brown and Denzel Burke are the starting two corners. Seven Banks got beat out. You know, we could make excuses or reasons why, but he got beat out. So I don't know how he's handled that. I don't know if he's injured and you know, not coming until that second wave of players, or if he just basically was like, nah, I'm not playing much. Like, fuck Coach Combs. I'm out of here.
Could that be a guy that transfers, or do you expect him to just go to the draft?
Well, if he goes to the draft, he's going to be a late pick at best. So yeah. he needs to develop and improve to become an NFL football player. But, you know, a lot of times kids, you know, they ride the pass. Like he had a good year 2 years ago. And so, you know, maybe he's going to ride that and hope that people think that the defensive staff was the reason he wasn't any good. And maybe they can make a star out of him, which the NFL is known to do. Like we talked about on the show yesterday. I mean, the NFL scouts and GMs, I mean, they just think that they are the best, the most elite coaches and developers in the world. And they see a little glimpse of talent and they're like, God, those coaches at Ohio State suck. Let's draft him. We'll get him right. And we'll have an all pro on our hands. And it's like, okay, jackass, like go waste your money.
I hear you. I did want to ask a question. I want to kind of go back to your coaching days. One of my homies who listens to the show, his name's Evan Dana Miller. He hit me up. He was like, yo, I want to hear about, like, you know, if Zach could pick three receivers from his time in coaching to be a starter, who would he pick? And I want to expand upon it. If you could put together, you know, your skill position and quarterback, dream offense of guys that you were around with, who would you pick? Florida and Ohio State days.
Ooh. I think, let's see. I'll give you all 11. We'll go all 11. Not going to be that difficult. We'll start with receiver. At Michael Thomas at X for sure. No one's even remotely close at that position. Percy Harvin at slot and Devin Smith at Z. The easiest selections in the history of the game. I the only one that I would like to include as a fourth is probably Terry McLaurin. Mm-hmm. I think Devin had a greater college impact, but Terry was a better overall player. And that's not even debatable. So Terry is, you know, I guess there is a conversation there. Terry might be my Z with Devin as my kind of deep ball role player. Although Terry has that skill also, but Devin was the best I've ever seen at it. So it's hard to not have him at least in my stable to rotate in. So I'd go those four receivers.
And we're talking peak of their college powers, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, Devin had several knee injuries when he got to the NFL, and that's the majority of the reason why he didn't flourish in the NFL. So people can save the conversation about him being a bust. I mean, you have two, I think he had three knee injuries, or, you know, in a span of 3 years. Like, that's impossible to overcome. So I'm taking those four receivers on the field. If we want to go 11 personnel with a tight end on the field, Devin's going to come out and Aaron Hernandez is going in. That's undeniable. I mean, you could not like the guy because he was a complete piece of shit and like the devil on earth for killing people and everything he did. But if we're talking strictly football, I mean, I haven't seen a tight end that's as good as him ever. So that's my receiving core and tight ends. The running back Zeke, not even close, and over JK, over anyone we had at Florida. He's the best running back I've seen in person. We'll save quarterback.
You said who's the running back?
Zeke.
Okay, yeah. My bad.
Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott is the running back, Chris.
Good.
All right, the offensive line, really easy interior offensive line. Pat Elflein's the center. Both Pouncey's are guards. I mean, you're talking about fucking all pro interior offensive line. Taylor Decker's going to be my one tackle. And who should be my other tackle? This is a good question. So we got two Gators, two Buckeyes. The other tackle, I'm going to have to say probably, let me think before I say this. It's either going to be Jamarco Jones or Marcus Gilbert from Florida. So I'm going to give Marcus the edge because he is a true tackle. Jamarco moved to guard in the NFL, but Jamarco's my sixth. You know, you got to have a sixth lineman that plays. Yeah, you know, a guy gets dinged up, his helmet breaks. Jamarco can go in at guard or tackle. So Jamarco is my sixth O lineman that's going to round out the offensive 10. And then quarterback, it's not even close for me. And I know people will argue this all day long. And they have a gripe, but I'm going Braxton Miller over Tim Tebow, over JT Barrett, over Dwayne Haskins, over Joe Burrow. I'm going Braxton Miller in his prime because people aren't even aware of what that cat was capable of if he didn't get hurt. Mm-hmm. He's the most talented player I've ever seen. He threw it as well as anybody. His arm strength was ridiculous. He was so accurate, so raw. He would make plays when you shouldn't make plays, throw routes you weren't supposed to throw because they'd pop open. I saw people criticizing Jalen Hurts for not seeing a guy pop open because it wasn't part of his progression. And that's a huge gripe of mine when people are just armchair quarterbacks and see a guy wide open and a quarterback doesn't throw it to him. And they're like, God, man, Jalen Hurts sucks. And you're like, you're a fucking idiot. Like it was a one high coverage. That guy's never supposed to be open. And I got into it with somebody on Twitter, some one of these X's and O's gurus that has no clue what they're talking about. Jalen Hurts plays his one high side, doesn't give eyes to the other side because there's no reason to. It's dead. You can't be on time and efficient at quarterback and play that way. But Braxton Miller was uncanny in his ability to, I mean, he has such a quick release and such a strong arm. He could kind of take a peek to the right and still be on time to the left.
Yeah, feet not set, just whipping that thing.
And things happen so fast for him. And he was unique because he didn't really read out plays. He just had an amazing feel for the game. And when guys popped open, he saw it. He just, triggered, fired. And that ball came out and got to him. So that offense would never be stopped. Those 11 players would never, ever, ever be stopped. I mean, I don't know that they would punt ever. I honestly don't even pick a punter.
Don't even pick a punter.
No, I'm not picking a punter. We're going for it every fourth down. That's my starting 11.
You know, it's interesting because like there's a little like cheating wild card in there because Cam Newton.
I mean, I agree. Cam Newton would be a stud. Now, if we're talking about college time with me in college, he was not the player at Florida that he was at Auburn. A lot like Joe Burrow. I mean, if you really want to get down to it, Joe Burrow's senior year at LSU, I'm not counting that because he wasn't playing for us, but that's the best quarterback play I've ever seen. So you would definitely take Joe Burrow in that form, but that doesn't count. That wasn't his form when he was within our program. So we can claim Joe Burrow in Buckeye Nation because he was a Buckeye. He's an alum, Buckeye grad, but you can't take credit for that performance. That performance was because of the development and the work that he put in at LSU. So if you're talking player that once played on a team that I coached and their best version of their self, yeah, it's got to be Joe Burrow. But that doesn't count to me. A lot like Cam Newton doesn't qualify for this argument.
Would Aaron Hernandez have been a better tight end than Gronk if it weren't for the murder case?
Oh my God, yes. Aaron Hernandez is the best tight end I've ever seen. He played running back for the Patriots, and they handed him the ball on like inside zone.
Yeah, he went on a 47 yard run. One of the first games I kind of noticed him playing back at running back. I was like, oh my god, unbelievable! Gracious.
I mean, the kid is would have been one of the more talented receivers in the league. He could play running back. He could pass pro. He could play tight end. He could block the ends. He could do everything. He was one of the most talented human beings I've ever seen. And it's not even close.
That offense would be ridiculous, but who would be the number one option out of the receivers?
Oh, Percy Harvin's the best player I've ever seen play football. He might be the best player to ever play football.
Percy, a little crazy Percy, but I love Percy. That's absurd. That's a good lineup. That's super interesting. I'm glad you floated Terry McLaurin on there because I generally think that's important. But, Zach, that's all I have for today. You have anything else?
No, we're good to go. Got a little Big Ten matchup today in Maryland, yes, Virginia sir. Tech. Big Ten's going to try to go 2-0. Shout out Mike Locksley. Let's go get that dub. Mm-hmm. And
gangster.
That's all I got. We got the college football preview show tomorrow afternoon. Obviously, the morning show tomorrow on Friday. Spaces at 3:00 on Friday on Twitter. Get a square on our board. Email if you're interested in the big money board. And let's get this thing rolling, man. Next week's a big week, obviously, to recap the college football playoff, Ohio State's hopeful victory over Utah, and then also some Zone 6 announcements coming next week. Website's not going to be done like I thought or hoped it would, but it's a work in progress. We can still launch the movement, launch the site, or launch the company side of this and the charity, and get rolling. It's time to get rolling. It's 2022 next week. So everyone finish out this week strong, man. It's a weird week. It's like the taint week, right? Between your asshole and your balls. It's like in between Christmas and New Year's. Like, I don't know what to do this week. Is it still a holiday or is it not? It's a very bizarre time, but we're back working here at Menace to Sports.
Always.
No time off. We took a day off.
A day.
We didn't even take a day off.
We didn't want to take a day off. We didn't want to take a day off the show.
So we'll be here New Year's Eve. You know, come hell or high water, we're here. But that's all I got, man. Menace out.
I ain't going outside today. No big.